Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Welcome back to Vaps Valley. We have a new face here, as I recorded with Brian on Tuesday evening, and he's on his way to the NBA Summer League, and so is JJ, my other son, my second son. He's going to fill in the intro, because we both just watched the Valkyries stomp the Indiana Fever in Caitlin Clark's first game in quite a while. And we had a discussion yesterday about whether or not the Valkyries would win. And my thought was, you know, you can take advantage of Caitlin being a little rusty, the team having to be back playing with her after having to figure out how to play without her. And early in the morning, it's camp day, I guess, is the reason they played so early in the morning. Valkyries on the road have not been great. And they went out and just beat the bumps off of the Fever. What did you think about the game?
Well, like you said, we talked last night, and I was completely wrong. I thought the Fever were going to beat on the Valkyries just because they lost at home to the Sparks in a game that they should have won, and I thought they were going to go get this one, especially with Caitlin, but yeah, I was completely wrong.
And by the way, I think you are the most brought-up person on BSPN, and this is your BSPN debut. And
this is my debut.
And you're talking Valkyries. I figured your debut would be Giants or Warriors, and no, you're talking Valkyries here.
I thought it would be Giants, but here we are. Big shoes to fill with Brian out.
So I thought that some of the interesting things watching that game, I didn't watch completely live, but I was pretty close. And watching a game at 9 o'clock in the morning is quite interesting. I was able to kind of watch through some work meetings. I have a specific way of watching where, you know, I try and watch as closely to real time as possible, like a 10-minute quarter. I try to watch the 10-minute quarter in 10 minutes so that I don't waste time. But I kind of liked morning with the WNBA there. And then secondly, the energy. The Valkyries had so much energy in the morning game for them. Obviously in Indiana, it wasn't at 9 a.m. like it was for us, but they had so much energy. I thought they were going to be sluggish. And I guess it comes from your best player, because Kayla Thornton was guarding Caitlin Clark for the majority of the game. She was being very physical with her, in some ways getting away with fouls too. You know, Caitlin flails a lot, and sometimes you kind of wonder if she was really fouled. But Kayla was very handsy with her, and so, you know, she was trying to get the foul call and didn't really get it very much. But when you have your best player, who is a bigger player, guarding one of the best offensive players in the league and setting the tone, I think that kind of is what really helped get the Valkyries off to a solid start, but then even better in the second quarter. A fantastic second quarter, and just kind of they ran away with it from there. Like, what did you think about Kayla guarding Caitlin?
That was going to be my first take that I wanted to say, but you took it right there. But yeah, I was completely surprised. I had written it down. I was like, Kayla Thornton guarding Caitlin. I didn't even think she had like the lateral foot speed to keep up, but I thought she did a really good job. Even there was a play where like Caitlin kind of like half spun and like fell, and she kind of like pulled the chair under her. She didn't even really complain that much because she kind of knew like she stumbled. But yeah, that was my first thought when I was watching, was that Kalo's Gardner and doing a really good job too.
You know, the Caitlin handle was interesting because I thought she got loose with it a little bit too much. And a lot of times it was when she was trying to turn. When she was going left and turning, it seemed like they saw that as an opportunity to go after the basketball. And they got like three steals off of her from that same type of play every time. Offensively, Kayla Thornton, of course, was really good. But Veronica Burton, I thought, had her best game. 21 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. She's all over the floor. She's probably got pieces of her skin on that court still for how many times she hit the ground. But you've been kind of up and down with her, whether or not she should be their point guard or she should play as much as she does. What'd you think about her game today?
Man, I was wrong about everything today because she was shooting the lights out. What I thought was pretty, maybe not Burton, but the Fever got out to like a 12-6 lead early, and I was like, oh, yeah, they're just going to get run over. I thought the Valks stayed composed, which is hard on the road. Like, they played, 2 days ago? Mm-hmm. That I thought that had every chance to be a blowout, and the Fever were just playing with a bunch of pace. But I thought the Valks stayed composed, and part of that is just Burton setting them up. But she was just making a lot of shots, too, from deep.
Pretty interesting, too. There's so much trust with Natalie and Veronica. Like, if you look at the minutes, we'll mention this in a second, but Carla Late was finally back. Carla Late, even when her box score stats look bad, which they did today, she's almost always a plus, which is funny. But Veronica Burton played 34 minutes. No other Valkyrie played more than 28. Tip Hayes played 28 minutes. Tip Hayes and Veronica Burton, the best plus minus at plus 22 for the game. But I think she just trusts her. She probably sees a floor general. Veronica Burton isn't flashy. She's a little bit more of a bulldog. She's a smart player. You don't see her throwing reckless passes like sometimes Carla is wont to do. And previously Julie Van Loo as well. You know, they were more looking for like hitting a home run, and Veronica Burton's hitting singles and doubles. And that worked today in a game where they needed, like you said, to stay composed. Kayla Thornton is their best player. She's their all-star. But Veronica Burton very much so is their leader and their 1B. And it was really good to see her have such an excellent game, especially because, you know, whenever you play Caitlin, you got more eyeballs on you than when you're not playing Caitlin. So that is something that I really liked about today, because after the last two games, you know, you mentioned the slow start on the Valkyries. I was like, oh man, you know, they've lost two in a row. Those two teams that they lost to are really good teams, so, you know, no harm, no foul. But if they kind of get on a little bit of a losing streak, it's a little bit of a regression to the mean, you know, because Brian and I have been talking about playoffs. Like, there's a legitimate opportunity for them to make the playoffs. Then you go, oh no, this stretch where they may kind of come back to earth. And no, they actually did the opposite today, which was fantastic to see. And I was just amazed. Like, the shot making was there, the defense, like just the defensive energy was there. That they trap almost at the perfect time, it seems. Like, you know, they have a sense for that, the sense for the moment of when they can create the opportunity of turnovers. So all that was really awesome to see. So someone we've been talking about for a little while, Brian and I especially, but someone that you're a big fan of, is Carla Late, and she was back. Now, she probably needs to get a little closer to the basket because those three-pointers were short. But I think they miss her energy. Like, she's got so much energy. She's like a bouncing ball on the court, and I think they missed it. You know, kind of the opposite player of Caitlin Chen, who's a little bit more like Veronica Burton in her style. But you miss that, like, you know, the jumpiness from Carla. What did you think of Carla today?
Yeah, the jumper was not falling, but I just think she brings like a different element as a guard, like finishing around the basket, because Burton is kind of bulldozing in there to draw the foul, doesn't have like the slick finishes, but Carla gets in there and is kind of Kyrie-like with the left hand and whatnot. So, yeah, the shot was not falling, but I think she had an opportunity where it was swing. She had the shot, but she just up-faked it and just got right to the hole, finished with the left. So, yeah, I do think they missed a little bit of that Chen and Burton don't do as much.
So the only two players who did not get in the game, which is surprising because the Valkyries did win this game by 19 points, 80-61. They outscored Indiana 20-9 in the second quarter and then also won the third and fourth quarters after Indiana won the first quarter. The only two players who didn't play, Stephanie Talbot and Cecilia Zandalasini. I'm not sure what that exactly means for the team, you know, heading into the future, because they do have, you know, they can play all 12 players. That is kind of a gift and a curse in a sense. So looking ahead, they play the Aces on Saturday, and we'll play the discussion that Brian and I had going over the last two games here in a second. But Brian said he's going to try and go to that Aces game, Aces and Valkyries in Vegas on a Saturday afternoon. You are also going to be in Vegas. What is your schedule for Vegas?
I definitely want to go to that game. I was telling Brian that I do want to go if the tickets are cheap and whatnot. But the plan is wake up, swim in the little pool at 12, go to the gym, sit there for 5 hours, watch whatever, and then yeah, come back. That's like the three-day weekend.
You got to get some Alex Tui takes if you're going to see any awards.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then so they play Saturday, then they play Monday, both road games against Phoenix, and then Wednesday another road game against the Storm. Friday another road game. No, actually, I think I have this wrong. Sorry, Phoenix at home, Storm in Seattle, Dallas at home. So that's next week's schedule. So Brian will be back by then, and we'll figure out our recording schedule then. But thanks for hanging out and helping me with this intro, because I did want to get the Indiana game. I did want to get a discussion about it. So it was a lot of fun.
Right on.
All right, let's throw to the discussion I had with Brian about the previous two games and some discussion about the roster, about their depth, about what happens if Ileana Rupaire decides to come through, and a little bit of a discussion about Kate Martin surprising us with her game. All right, let's toss it to that segment.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand, through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Brian is headed to Las Vegas for NBA Summer League, so maybe he'll come back with some thoughts on the Warriors and Alex Tui, I guess, I guess he's going to play, right?
I got to imagine.
And who's the other guy they got? Will Robinson, Will something?
I don't know.
The Florida guy.
Yeah.
But you know what I was thinking? Like, as the expansion happens in WNBA, like, how cool would it be for the WNBA to have their own sort of spring league or whatever, right? Like, the NCAAs happened so soon before WNBA season, you'd have to finagle that, but it'd kind of be interesting to have like a little preseason, early young player kind of action for teams. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's all reliant on scheduling because, like you said, I think March Madness ends. Does it bleed into April at all?
Yes, the first weekend in April, I think, is the finals.
Yeah, and then the season, maybe training camp is like in May, or like preseason's in May. Like, it's just so quick. And then the draft is like a week after like the tournament championship game. It's all reliant on scheduling. If they were at WNBA, were to push their season back a little, but then do they want to run into the NFL and the NBA more? Like, it's kind of feels a little tough.
It's kind of crazy. All right, since the last time we talked, the Valkyries have played two games. They played the Minnesota Lynx, and they played them pretty competitively, I thought, but they lost some steam late in the game or second half. And then they played the Atlanta Dream, and I thought the way that they were playing, that they were possibly going to get ahead of the Dream a little bit and maybe even create some distance. And that is absolutely not what happened, because the Atlanta Dream went on a crazy run in the fourth quarter to put that game away. So the last time we were talking, we're like, oh, man, they're going to be a playoff team. And then they lose two games to very good teams. Do you feel any differently about what they may be by the end of the season?
Yes, but not by that much. I think they still need to prove it on the road, which they kind of have yet to do. I'm trying to think of like big road wins
for them. They've only won games in California. That's it.
Yeah, just the sparks. So, you know, I think we feel good about them at home, but they need to still prove it on the road. And of course, this is a long road stretch. This entire month of July is probably 80% road games for them. So I think you kind of like what you see just based off of being in it with Minnesota, being in it with Atlanta. But I'm with you. I actually thought that they were going to maybe boat race Atlanta. Like, after, you know, the first couple runs, it was like, okay, Atlanta has these really two bigs in Breonna Jones and Brittany Griner, and they were kind of missing shots to start. And they're pretty big. So
yeah,
the Valkyries are good at team rebounding, and everyone kind of crashes the paint, and they just get the ball and run. And I was like, oh, if they could just get these bigs to miss shots, it's an easy rebound, fast break, run, score. And that strategy, you know, was working for as long as they were missing shots. But then you have Brittany Griner and then Monique Billings as your only five in the game with Amihir and Fagbenle on the bench. And Brittany Griner was just getting buckets. I felt like it took them too long to bring back in one of the other bigs. Because if you're going to play against those two bigs, I feel like you need two bigs. Regardless of if it's just Griner out there, you need two bigs out there against her. And I felt like that substitution came a little late, where Atlanta had gotten some momentum. And then, you know, like you said, fourth quarter, I actually felt like the Valkyries still, you know, I think, what, were they tied going to the fourth, or were they up, or were they barely down? I forget what it was, but it still felt like they kind of had potentially had a shot at this. And I thought that Atlanta had done something that I feel like I haven't seen many teams do against them, which is just insanely up the defensive intensity and basically blindside trap. Like, you know, sure, teams have shot the pick and roll and doubled the ball handler, and the ball handler makes the easy read to the roller, but what about the person where their back's turned and comes out of nowhere and takes the ball away? Like, that I feel like they haven't seen much of. And there was that dumb call at the end of the game where, like, Burton and Kate Martin kind of have a little mix up under the basket, but someone might need to refresh me of the rules, because I didn't think that was illegal at all. I thought you could almost say that Veronica was passing it to Kate to then pass back to her. But then you had the Atlanta head coach just going absolutely berserk on the sideline, as if he'd seen like a cardinal sin. And I was just like, I thought I've played basketball my whole life. I didn't think this was illegal.
So the thing is I think they tried to show a quick replay, but they didn't really do a good job of it. What it looked like is that Burton grabbed the ball, and I don't think she was out of bounds.
She wasn't.
Because she was before, it was before she got out of bounds. Kate was kind of straddling the line, and she threw it to Kate. So they had to determine that Veronica would have been either out of bounds completely and passing it in, and Kate was kind of hovering the line, or what you were saying, they had to say Veronica was completely I have that mixed up. They had to think Veronica had the ball behind the baseline and was passing it in, and Kate was out of bounds. That's either that or when she was passing it, like you said, passing it parallel, you can make that out of bounds to out of bounds pass that Kate had her foot on the line. I either of those things didn't look like it happened. What it looked like is that she grabbed the ball, and before she walked out of bounds, she threw it to Kate, who wasn't out of bounds either, but like no one had taken the ball physically out of bounds yet. That's what it looked like to me. And so you're right. The coach had a conniption fit on the sidelines, and they got the call.
He got his way.
But here's the thing, right? Like you said, it wasn't that big of a deal in the overall outcome. You want to know what was a pretty big deal in the overall outcome was the box score, which was at the end of the first quarter, Valk's up 10. At the end of the second quarter, so going into halftime, they're still up 2. At the end of the third quarter, they're up 4. They get blitzed 26-13 in the fourth quarter to lose that game by 9 points.
And so, I feel like the key point everyone keeps pointing out is turnovers and points off of turnovers. Have you seen that breakdown yet?
No, I didn't see it, but
it's just a pretty crazy number.
Just watching the game, they were getting sloppy. Like Kayla threw a couple passes where she thought a player was going to be, and I think one of them they actually didn't get it stolen, and the other one they did. I think it may have even been to Burton. Like she kind of threw it to where she thought Burton was going, and she went the other way. It was a lot of stuff like that, though. You know, what you would kind of call unforced errors. Like, it wasn't even really the defense creating the turnover. It was, like, the lack of chemistry on offense. And so this is what I wanted to ask you about, because we talked about this on the last show, which is you've been very aware of Eurobasket since we started doing this podcast. You were like, here's what's going to happen. They're going to lose all these players, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to have to figure out how to stay above water when those players leave, but also incorporate them back. And so for two games with Janelle Salon and Zanda Lucini, they have not incorporated them back very well, and I can't figure out why. I saw a couple of quotes by Natalie, and she didn't really say much about why, just that they kind of knew that they were going to have to do this, and this is part of the deal. Janelle had 4 minutes, and Zanda Lucini had 0 minutes against the Dream. I don't know if that's incorporating them back into the offense, and maybe what it was Natalie was seeing how well they were playing and didn't want to take any opportunity to put them back in, knowing that the team was playing very well with them out of the game. So, but that was very surprising, because I think we both think that Janelle is probably one of the best five players on their team, but she hasn't looked good in her minutes back. She looks a little slow, maybe even tired. I would imagine tired just from going and playing overseas in a tournament in midseason, and not yet kind of back in the flow. And they had a really good flow with those players out, which is also part of the thing. So what do you think? What have you seen from trying to reintroduce some of these players back into the whole shebang?
I haven't quite been able to totally figure it out either. Like, it does feel weird that it's looked kind of this off. Even in the Minnesota game, it kind of felt like that was the turning point, is when Zanda Lucini and Salon come in, and it's like, oh, they're not getting anything going, and Minnesota goes on their run. So I don't really know. I think you're onto something with the fatigue. Like, sure, you know, while they were at Eurobasket playing, so was the team playing here. Like, I wonder if you kind of match up how many games each person played. It's probably relatively similar, but you talk about flying overseas on not short notice, but just a quick turnaround after that Sparks game, I think was their last game. And then, you know, there were some back-to-backs in Eurobasket, and right on Sunday, you know, they fly back for Monday or Tuesday. And so I think the fatigue, not necessarily game fatigue, but like also like travel fatigue, whereas the rest of the team just got to kind of chill in their own bed in their own apartment in San Francisco. So I think you can use that a little bit. But I don't know. I don't know if you, how you would stack up like the competition they were playing over there versus the, I think the WNBA is the best league in the world. And I just wonder, like, would the Valkyries beat Team France? I think they would beat Team Eurobasket France. And that's kind of what was there. So maybe, you know, that they just weren't playing like insanely tough competition. That feels like a cop out. So I don't necessarily totally know, but I will say Salon and Zandalasini kind of look like a little like slower than what the pace they want to play. Mm-hmm. And I think Zandalasini might be more of a naturally like slower player, but in the regard of like her movements, not necessarily she's like out of shape by any means. I just think she might be, you know, move at a slower pace. I don't know, but I feel like they want to play fast and they want to play athletic. And I feel like when Salon and Zandalasini come in, it's hasn't felt like that.
But you know who also plays like Zandalasini and Salon a little bit more than playing how the Valkyries are playing is Yuste. Yuste's a little bit more like get to the spot, take the open jet. Like she's not like booking it down the court and like getting layups like how they seem to want to play. So that'll be interesting if three of your best players don't really fit the design of the offense quite yet. And then how do you incorporate? And this is what Natalie was talking about, just figuring out, and she blames herself, right? She's very much like, this is my fault. I need to do a better job at this. And I don't know if it's her fault. It's just chemistry in general. How do you implement what you're trying to implement while getting these other players on the same page when they were gone and your team was really, really in rhythm? So that is going to be something that I mentioned this last week, which is like the thing that I'm focusing on is how do you incorporate these talented players back into your current rhythm? Because if you don't, what you risk is having to, if that doesn't work, if the style that we saw against Connecticut, right, where they are just getting the rebound and booking it, and they're just beating teams down the floor. At some point, if you can't always do that, then it goes back to how you can run an offense. And Janelle and Zandalasini, those players will need to be incorporated because they're good offensive players. If you need 2 points, they are two of the better players so far on your team, in addition to Kayla, who can get that bucket for you when you need it. They're kind of going with like this gritty, like hustle kind of team, which is great because I think it makes for a pleasing basketball and they're winning with it. But you're going to need to incorporate the talent that you do have into this current scheme.
Yeah. And kind of jumping a little bit to a different topic, kind of, but you know, they started this game with a lineup that we were pretty familiar with. I think they actually started their first preseason game with Burton at the one, Tip at the two, KT at the three, Monique at the four, Temi at the five. And they actually started that game, this game with it. And it made sense because you were going up against Bree Jones and Brittany Griner to match that size. Now you go up against the Fever and you go up against, I want to say, you know, Natasha Howard is healthy and Aaliyah Boston's healthy, but those are two pretty solid bigs as well. So Monique just played such a good game. Like she was insanely good against Atlanta that I got to imagine that, you know, because of that, she gets the nod to start again. Also, you know, from a fit perspective, it might work again against Indiana. I guess they did lose, so it didn't work, but that rotation kind of felt like a plus.
And so here's our favorite new segment, the quickest take. There's a lot of discussion about Ileana Rupaire actually coming to the team. Now, she hasn't made it yet. So, you know, you kind of have to wait to see if that actually happens. But lots of discussion that she's going to make it. And, you know, you look at her numbers both in Eurobasket and in her league and, you know, double-double kind of player. But they will have to cut one of their current players on their team. Who is going to be that person if Rupert joins them, you think?
There's kind of no good answer just because everyone's been playing pretty well. You know, if you want to make the insanely hot take, which I don't think is going to happen at all, but Zanellini got a DMP. I've been saying that it could be maybe Talbot, but I'm starting to see, like, you see with Talbot and her passing that they kind of like that. And then you can float the options of Chen and Amihir, of course, because they were the two rest-of-season contract players that have remained on the roster since everyone came back. But you could see that when they waive Van Loo, they like Chen's kind of like stability, like she kind of makes the right play, she hustles. Whereas, you know, the other guard and Carla Late, like she kind of feels a little wild cardy sometimes, maybe not as in control. So having Chen,
a little bit more like Van Loo than like
yes, Chen. Exactly. So with that mindset, you could say, okay, well, you might still want to keep Chen just because you kind of have the Carla / Van Loo spot with Carla. And so maybe that leads you to say Amihir, and it just feels very weird to say that Amihir should get cut. Positionally, it makes sense. You know, Ileana Rupert's coming in as a five. Amihir plays kind of the 4-5 for this team. But if you just think about, like, I guess how the minutes would work, like you could say once Janelle works her way back into the starting lineup, Janelle at the 4, Temi at the 5, and then, you know, Monique and Rupert are your backup 4-5. So that kind of pushes Amihir out anyways. But Amihir's just been so good, even against Atlanta.
And like, it was fits just the athletic up and down yes. style that they
what she doesn't fit is the 3-point stuff. Yeah. She does not shoot threes. It's kind of what I was saying in the beginning of the year. Like, what are these team schemes that they're going over the screen on Van Loo and Carlo when they're like shooting 20% from three? Same thing with Amihir until I feel like last night Atlanta kind of figured out a little bit. People keep biting at her pump fake, and she's maybe shot 4 threes this year and maybe one's gone in, and she just is so quick and athletic, boom, right to the cup, easy finish. She's a really good finisher. But once they started saying have 5 feet of space to shoot that three, and we're just going to take away your drive, and I kind of felt like there was a more not as much comfortability with that. So
I would probably bet Amihir as well, but I think it's because they want to be able to play with multiple ball handlers to just make sure that they continue to get up and down the court.
Yep.
Veronica Burton is your classic point guard, you know, who's going to start and play most of the minutes. I think she played, she only sat 7 minutes yesterday, I think. And then you have your backup in Chen, who plays a little bit more like Burton. And then you have Late, who can do more things because she's fearless going to the hole. So I would say it's probably going to be Amihir as well. But I think the outside one is Talbot. I was really interested because Talbot did not start against Atlanta, and I was kind of interested how she was going to play. And she did not play a lot either. Her line was 6 minutes and 2 points. So I don't know if that was just because of the size and the matchup, or if that she would, you know, Nakase was trying out other things. So
I think they like Talbot as a four, and they had to play big, and Talbot isn't necessarily big.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, we were both pretty caught off guard by the Julie Van Loo thing, and then we looked into the stats and we're like, okay, it makes a little more sense. Mm-hmm. Is there any other like would it be crazy if it was Carla? You know, those weird DMPs to injury to DMP to, you know, she is the youngest on the team, then, and Nakase seems to want to try their best at this opportunity in the playoffs. Like, I mean, I'm totally against that, but I just feel
I envision this future of like Carla and Eustay, like being like a nice 1-2 combination from a scoring inside outside kind of thing. But yeah, you know, I would be really surprised, but you've been on this one just about how mysterious the injury is. Like I think she was a coach's decision yesterday, and then Jacob Toby and Morgan said that she was another scratch. And so I was like, oh, I thought it was a coach's decision. So whatever the reason is interesting, just that there's not a lot of information out there. And I know
it's kind of feels that way with WNBA injuries. Like, I've noticed that since following the league, is like, it's with the NBA, it's like, oh, the guy's activated. Oh, he's one of your best players. Okay. Right back into the starting five.
Yeah.
For the WNBA, like even the Valkyries, you could point to when Tip Hayes came back against New York and she got a DMP. So it's almost activated doesn't necessarily.
She's been great, by the way.
You could also point to the turn in the fourth quarter to Tip Hayes, like having like a non-contact weird injury that takes her out of the game, puts Cade into it, and then I feel like that's kind of when a lot more of those turnovers started to happen. Not because of Cade's fault, but you take away just this really confident ball handler.
Some of it is Cade's fault. There's a couple of situations where you can just tell sometimes the athleticism catches up to her. And she's got to make these really quick decisions, and they're not always there. I mean, she was bombs away yesterday as well. Yeah. So I'm not blaming her for anything. But some of these moments, I can kind of sense that, you know, she's going to struggle versus certain teams, especially with the ball handling.
Yeah, I will say though, me and JJ were talking a little off pod today, and we've both been impressed by, you know, Kate Martin's marketed coming out of college is just like strictly 3 and D. That's all she's going to give you. And you can even maybe say like more so the three than necessarily defense. But there's been some drives in these past couple games, especially against Minnesota. There was a couple where I was like, holy crud. Like, I didn't realize that was in your bag.
Yeah.
And you could see that she's getting better, and the unrivaled season probably helped, you know, having more of an open floor to see what you could do with your bag against these top level athletes. And then her bringing a little bit of that into this season, like, I was just expecting her to just be bombs away the whole time. And, you know, she's been taking her fair share of threes for sure. That's her best talent. But like, some of these drives I've been quite impressed with.
I
don't think Kate's
passing.
Going anywhere.
Her passing is the thing that I like the most. You notice that she's like the main inbounder. And when she is the main inbounder, sometimes they get layups off of the inbounds passes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That two in a row that, you know, they the first one was either like a foul or like redo it, and they got it again.
So just a quick thing, and we'll talk about the All-Star teams in a second here, because they just got distributed. But I don't know if you read any of the reporting on the game, but Nakase was very frustrated with the lack of free throws that the Valkyries took compared to the Dream. There was quite a discrepancy. It was like 15, it was like 24-9 or something like that. And her point is, and sometimes, you know, sometimes the point can be, well, you know, they're just shooting a lot of threes, and so why would they shoot free throws? Like, come on, Bob Fitzgerald, quit complaining. Like, that's kind of what we when we watch the Warriors. But she was saying that there were moments with Hayes and Burton and Thornton where they were going to the cup and they were getting fouled and it wasn't getting called. And I kind of wondered if it was just the Brittany Griner just being there and changing shots. And when you're a referee and you're watching Griner just turn around, and all of a sudden the person who's got the basketball completely changes the way they're about to shoot this shot, you just think, oh, it's just good defense. It's her presence. And, you know, the Valkyries are the smaller team, so they probably weren't going to get the benefit of the whistle when it came to, you know, driving into bigs and such, just because of how you watch bigs play. But I didn't really notice it while I was watching the game, but I didn't know if you noticed the discrepancy while you were watching the game.
I didn't really notice it. But to push Nakase's point a little bit, points in the paint, both teams tied at 34. So there was, you know, it's not like a, you know, we don't know the different types of points in the paint they were getting, whether it was wide open bunnies or easier layups versus contests. Like, I don't know, but that's usually like a good way to be like, okay, why was the foul discrepancy like that different? I was going to make the tangent a little earlier, but I don't want to make it a tangent. I just want to make it like, you know, I think something that gets pretty complained about, which is kind of ironic coming after one of the finishes from today's game, but the refereeing. Like, did you see the ending to that Chicago Sky, Washington Mystics, where there's a foul call on Elizabeth Williams, the Chicago Sky forward next to Angel Reese, and it was pretty clearly not a foul. It was actually a pretty clean block, and that essentially won them the game. Where
Angel Reese has been very vocal about the referees of late.
You know, in people on the Athletic podcast and on the Ringer podcast, like, I've heard it on many different podcasts. It's a well-known thing that, you know, the resources in terms of, you know, getting referees, like the WNBA doesn't have as many resources to get the better referees or something, or maybe their best referees end up promoting themselves to the NBA and they lose their best ones. I don't really know.
Sabrina had a comment about the jump balls. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that one.
Where she said she wishes that there was a possession arrow because the referees can't throw it. And then it, even when they do, it takes 2 minutes to set it up and they can't get the players in the right position. And this, so yeah, the, I think it was a shot at the referees there, but I watch it and it reminds me a lot of college. And one of the reasons I kind of fell out of favor with college is because I thought the refereeing was a little poor, especially in big moments where you're like, how do you miss that thing? Like, this was a very important moment in the game. And yeah,
I feel like I've noticed more the home crowd, and like they can, like if you react in a certain way, you might be able to get your way, especially on the coaching side. Like, I think Carl Semesco, if that's how you pronounce his name, I think he genuinely, like, the him and the bench, like, changed that call. Like, they screamed, and then the ref took 2 seconds, and then they went and redid it. I feel like that, you know, I'm not actually really critiquing Carl, the Atlanta coach, for being kind of irate. Like, I think Nakase is pretty emotional on the sideline as well, or passionate is what I should say, on the sideline as well. Yeah, and did she get teed up against Atlanta? Because she got teed up, was it against Minnesota? I think it was a pretty silly tee against Minnesota.
It was either her or maybe Tip got teed up. It's somebody.
I think she was defending Tip, and then you go and rewatch it, and it's like, oh, Tip actually wasn't fouled. Or like, you know, it was one of those, but
might have been one of those where she's like, okay, she's was fouled three times, and so this is the time I'm going to argue.
Yeah. So, but yeah, something to keep an eye on, I guess, is just, you know, not the refereeing as a whole, I guess, but kind of, but also, how are they reactionary? You know, are they going to feed off of the crowd? And then the home versus the away swings are always just larger margin.
The collective bargaining thing, I wonder if it becomes point in that, you know. And we've been hearing just through the reporting that the players are not happy with the negotiating that they've seen so far, but
yeah,
I mean, that it's always going to start low, and you got to fight for your right to party, man. Like they need to hold strong.
You think of their priorities, right? Like, I'm sure refereeing is a higher priority, but for them it's roster space, increased pay, the rev share stuff, like that's the parent stuff
that they want to be able to travel with nannies and their kids and all.
Yeah, like that's gonna definitely, like, refereeing as big of an issue as we have as fans think it to be, like, it's pretty, I'm sure it's pretty low on the totem pole for the WMBPA and they're negotiating.
All right,
as it should be.
Let's talk about the all-star rosters that were distributed today. Okay, so the starters, Caitlin Clark and Nafisa Collier did a draft, and Team Caitlin is...
Do you have the picks listed out in order?
I don't have the order.
I have the order.
Oh, you do have the order? Okay, go for it.
So Caitlin had the first pick, and of course she went with her teammate, Aaliyah Boston. Good. Nafisa, with her first pick, goes for Breonna Stewart. So the obvious omission is Asia, right?
Yeah.
She's the best player in the league, and she doesn't get drafted first, nor does she get drafted second. So Nafisa goes for her unrivaled co-founder Breonna Stewart with her first pick, back to Caitlin for Sabrina Ionescu, back to Nafisa for Alicia Gray, no
wow.
Asia Wilson yet, back to Caitlin for Asia Wilson,
okay, there you
with
go.
Her third pick, and then Nafisa for her third pick goes NECA. Caitlin gets to go again, she goes Ryan Howard, and then Nafisa rounds it out with Paige.
So Paige was the last.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Ryan Howard. I'm sorry. I'm reading it wrong. It was Satu for Caitlin, Paige for Collier.
Okay, so Paige was the last of the starters.
Yes. Probably okay. As she should be, just,
yeah.
You know. But,
yeah, she's a rook.
But then again, there's never a as it should be with when you have two players drafting. Like, they're always going to draft their buddies, so there's never an as it should be. Like, Kiki Iriafen, probably her or Citron, probably should have been the last pick in this draft. They were not. Do you want me to go with the reserves?
Well, in a second. What I like about what Caitlin did is she, of course, your homie. You got to take the homie.
Mm-hmm.
And then going Sabrina over Asia with that second pick kind of forces Nafisa Collier into, okay, you already drafted a big. Are you going to draft another big? I'm getting my guard and seeing if you're going to draft another big with your very next pick. And she went, nope, I got to draft the three-pointer, the three-point shooter, Alicia Gray. So that was such, that was smart. And that, you know, part of that is Caitlin had the first pick. So she was going to get the, you know, the advantage there. But the other thing is, Alicia Gray really hurt my feelings last night. Jeez, every time they needed a big shot, she was money. Just having a tremendous shooting year.
Yep.
It's amazing. Okay, go for the reserves.
So with the reserves, Nafisa gets to pick first. So Nafisa went and took her teammate, Courtney Williams. Caitlin then takes her teammate, Kelsey Mitchell, back to Nafisa for Skylar Diggins, back to Caitlin for Gabby Williams, back to Nafisa for Angel Reese. Then Caitlin goes Citron.
I wonder if Caitlin should have just drafted Angel Reese with like her second pick.
Probably. I mean, I would probably rather have Angel than Gabby. And both have been having incredible years.
Just for the whole idea that the world thinks that they hate each other and stuff, like, you know, they're competitive.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know. I thought they played really well last year in that All-Star game. Remember when they were on the non-team
the
USA?
The one assist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they won. Back to Nafisa for Alyssa Thomas. Back to Caitlin for Iria Fenn. Back to Nafisa for Kelsey Plum. Then Caitlin went with her last pick. No, sorry, not her last pick. Jackie Young, Nafisa's last pick, Ryan Howard. Caitlin's last pick are Valkyrie, Kayla Thornton.
So you're telling me that Kayla Thornton got the Rudy Gobert treatment?
Yeah, and I don't think she should have. Caitlin was kind of like, I want to draft my friends, and I respect that. But yeah, it should have been one of the Washington rookies probably as the last pick.
Huh. Yeah. Kind of a bummer. No, I mean, it's not a bummer. Kayla made the team, but,
yeah.
You know, I think just the whole popularity of it, it's cool until you got to be the last one, and then it's kind of mean. And I'm sure Kayla, the way that she plays and sort of her personality, I think she may tuck that into the back of her mind a little bit, but she probably knows the deal. So, all right, so you're going to go to Summer League Wednesday. You're leaving. We're recording this on Tuesday evening. And then you'll be back when?
Saturday night.
So how many games are you going to miss?
I actually might go to Vegas versus Valkyries.
Oh, no way.
They're going to be in town on Saturday.
That'll be amazing.
Early afternoon. So if I could swing it, I'm coming back Saturday night. So it would all line up if I was able to make it happen.
I wonder how much the tickets are.
I think I was seeing like $20 for the worst seat, which in comparison kind of lines up, but I don't know, like the seating in the T-Mobile versus Chase, like the seat count difference. Like, I don't...
Last year when I was in Vegas, it was Caitlin. It was the Caitlin's first game in Vegas. I didn't go because I had to do other stuff, but it was a pretty hot
ticket. That ticket would probably have been, hot ticket, yeah.
Yeah, it was like $200 to get in, I think, or something like
that.
All right, so have fun in Vegas. Have fun at Summer League. Send me some photos or whatever if you run into Carla and you ask her about her back, you can report back to us. Anyways, yeah, so that's going to be it from here. For Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.